Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roybern.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Guys, with me today is a great guest. When it comes to gold mining stocks in the mining sector, nobody understands the fundamentals better than my next guest. He's Gary Tanasian, editor and publisher of Notes from the Rabbit Hole, a great newsletter. Gary, let me get right into it. I had you on, I think, two or three times last year, and you talked about the potential for, you know, gold to break 2100, silver to potentially go to 34, even before the stock market and the economy eventually rolled over. It looks like that view is playing out. I don't want to get like a 10-minute answer to a question, because I know you and I have a habit of droning on, but has your macro view changed at all? I mean, your macro market view, are we looking at stagflation? Are we looking at maybe a bit of stagflation and then disinflation? I know that's a bunch of questions there, but how do you see the macro playing out now with precious metals specifically in mind?
Tough question as far as who's the horse and who's the cart, you know, who's pulling and who's pushing. But I'm going to stick with the original view, which was the disinflation, the Goldilocks, as we saw through 2003, the technology leadership, semiconductor leadership, pro-cyclical, pro-economy, inflation not too hot, not too cool, everybody happy. And gold quietly diverged that for a lot of 2023. And my view was that Goldilocks was going to morph into something less comfortably disinflationary. In other words, a deflation scare. But more recently, in the last few months, there have been a lot of indications that we were going to get a bump up in inflation signals. You know, commodities were oversold. Crude oil was at a major support area. The thing was due to bounce. And frankly, if you look at the commodity indexes, it looks like a bullish downward consolidation and upturn. That almost makes me want to flip inflationist at this point, but I am going to stick with the view that this is a counter to the disinflationary trend, revival in inflation signals. We had a lot of hype this week with the CPI and the services, the sticky services pricing and all that, but also energy has taken the logical bounce as well, and that's driving a lot of costs, rent, housing, the whole deal. Here it is, that the interest rates are bumping back up. The Fed is not imminently cutting rates as the hopes were. But I still believe this is a way station along the way to a deflationary resolution, at least a scare prior to the next major inflation problem. So I'm going to stick with that, even though I've been bullish on commodities recently. I am not ready to jump aboard the inflation train full bore at this point.
No, I love it. There's so much nuance in your answer there. But that leads me to a follow-up, which is, what would it take? What signal would there have to be for you to say, you know what, I got to go inflationist now?
Wow, that's a good question.
That's why I asked.
Stump the guest. So I need to see long-term interest rates start to moderate now. If they make a higher high to, what was it? I can't remember exactly when the highs were made, sometime in 2023. Then obviously we're in a new inflationary phase If interest rates and inflation expectations and all that start to tick new highs rather than look like a just a rebound, the anticipated rebound, I'd say the Fed is losing control. Meanwhile, you have the government in there happily reaching into its debt pile of 34 trillion plus or whatever it's at now, and in an election year, and I think that really plays into it. I try to stay out of the politics, but this year I cannot. There's a lot of fiscal shenanigans going on because it's a very divisive election year, and I think it's do or die, And so the public be damned as far as interest rates go and inflation. They've got to keep this thing, this jalopy on the road, So it could get out of control to a stagflationary environment, but I don't think it's there yet. And I think that after the election, I think this thing's going to just let a lot of air out of its balloon.
Even if we go into stagflation mode, I mean, at some point you have inflation, you have stagflation, but at some point when the economy really weakens, then because of the recessionary, disinflationary, or deflationary forces, those come about, and then naturally inflation starts to come down. How much, because we know that the economy is pretty weak, but if we get some bout of inflation or stagflation, is that something that could last more than like a year or two?
I don't know. I mean, we're in a new world here, with the breakout in long-term yields for the first time in decades. I will not pretend to have it predicted and have it in the bag as far as what's coming. I will commit, however, to tracking it and making logical sense of it each, through each phase of it. But who knows? How does the system end? I do believe the system is being drastically altered, and I don't know if the climax is hyperinflationary or deflationary, but I believe what comes after this election year balls out inflation attempt. I shouldn't say balls out, but they're in there doing their best. And I have a tinfoil hat theory that former Fed Chief Janet Yellen, current Biden administration Secretary Treasury, is in good coordination with the Federal Reserve, fiscal and monetary forces working together. The Fed is tight in the headlines, but out the back door, they're not so tight. So after the election, I have no clue, Jordan, but I will be ready for it. Whichever event happens.
I mean, is the action, the price action gold, this beautiful breakout from the 13-year cup and handle pattern, is that telling you anything? Could that be telling us, it doesn't matter whether it's deflationary or inflationary, the gold trend is going to be strong? I mean, I don't want to, be presumptuous here with my questions, but give me, because as you say, the macro world is so difficult to discern, to understand which way it's going to go. Is gold just telling us perhaps, it doesn't really matter. Gold's broken out, it's going to move higher.
Yeah, I think it's telling us counter-cyclical, just very simply that the forces of the bubbles are over, or as I've been calling the stock market, a dead man walking. I believe the stock market is in a major ending phase that could well go through most of this year, or at least into the elections. The healthier thing for the stock market to do would be take a hard correction first and clear everything out for a whopper of a into the year second half rally. But and gold could get hammered in a situation like that. But it has broken out. You and I have both seen the parameters for that. The first target is 2450. It's getting pretty darn close, and that's based on the pattern that was formed after the large cup and handle pattern had already formed, which is a longer term target of 3,000. And depending on which way to go, things go in the near term or this year, 3,000 may be coming quicker than I originally thought. But gold is just fine, and it's predicting bad things coming. You know, I'm hearing noise about China buying and federal or central banks buying. I ignore all that. And that rising gold price is somebody buying for protection against something. I don't think it's necessarily World War III. I'm hearing that very often lately. I mean, all this stuff may factor in and be in play, but gold is forecasting bad things. And for me, it's the bubble that is in trouble, you know? And the bubble has been in policy making, routine inflationary policy due to the disinflationary decades against which they kind of did their magic. And that's over, as evidenced by what happened in Treasury yields in 2022. It just busted the trend to pieces. So I think gold is just, I think the gold market has had enough, and it's just saying a new macro is coming, and it's one component of that new macro.
Yeah, so yeah, let me follow up on the Treasury yields, because I think we talked about this in one of our interviews last year. Isn't that the catalyst for this new macro, as you're saying? Because now that Treasury bonds, I mean, I don't want to presume you're thinking it's a secular bear now, but at least I think it's a secular bear in the bond market. I mean, that is basically putting a stop to all these shenanigans, because when you're in a, when people are going to buy bonds, you know, they can print without, you know, seemingly, we know there's negative consequences always, but you know, now that they, you know, they're going to spend tons of money and print at some point, you know, the bond market is really going to throw a fit, unlike, you know, from 1990 to 2020.
Well, I think it's projecting that right now. And yes, it is a bear market, a secular bear, I believe. That breakout was too dramatic, as if it had enough of the shenanigans of the previous decades. So it's, to me, it's going to be handcuffs slapped on the Fed and the government, although the government may choose to disregard and just put the pain on the public through rising interest rates and continue on its business. I don't know. But the Fed, I think, is being shoved to the sideline as far as relevance goes. But it's a new bond bear, obviously. So any deflationary situation I'm looking at is interim to probably, as you said, a stagflationary macro that will wreck the economy just as well as a deflationary event would do it, just in a different way. I think it's more corrosive, and you know, certain areas, certain global areas may outperform. Obviously, resources and commodity-rich areas, precious metals, the whole deal, I think will outperform. And a grinding bear market, not too dissimilar from the 90 parts of the 1970s, could take effect. But it's just not going to be easy. I'm not going to look at a doomsday scenario, but there could be a lot of pain attached to any progress that's made in the economy. And there'll be a lot of change and cycling and rotation. So yeah, it's a nuanced situation. And I had used the downtrend, the multi-decade downtrend in long-term treasury yields as a guide to the ongoing disinflationary continuum. And then when it broke, I said, well, time to figure out what this means. And I'm still in that process. You know, I'm not saying, see, I told you so about anything, and not predicting anything, but certainly I know things are changing. And the biggest culprit or candidate that I see out there is that massive stock market bull from, you know, depending on where you want to market from, let's say 2000, instigated by the bubble in policy. And I don't think policy is able to be bubble policy anymore. I think it's been handcuffed.
Yeah, very important point. Let's go a little micro here. Let's delve into the gold stocks. Could you explain why the gold stocks are and gold mining is countercyclical? Because I think people have been almost conditioned in recent years to think that, well, if the market goes down, I can't make any money in gold stocks, or if the economy crashes and we have a recession, like that's bad for gold stocks. And I mean, in some cases in the short term, yes, it can be. But I would just like you to explain the macro drivers behind gold stocks and gold mining and why it's countercyclical.
Sure. Yeah, it could be bad for gold stocks when a recession becomes obvious, because they're rallying with all the cyclical stuff right now. So they're not rallying in their purest fundamental suit. So they could get knocked down because I don't feel like the true fundamentals are fully engaged, although they are coming along really well. But this rally is going with the inflation stuff. And you know, we have our targets on the miners, and that's in the near or intermediate term. But the best will be when the economy fails and gold starts to outperform stocks, as it already is doing with most commodities, even though all this inflation signaling is whipping back up again. Gold is maintaining uptrends versus copper. Commodity index, other metals. So it's all good. And we need, though, the psychological end of it to come into place. And that is for gold to really bust out and begin trending up versus US and global stock markets. And that'll be the final component to a purist fundamental view where that stuff is failing. And gold doesn't need to go up in that instance. It just needs to nicely outperform, which it will if the economy decelerates and we go countercyclical. So using just one example, one commodity example, probably half of gold mining costs are related to crude oil and energy. And when gold resumes its rise in terms of oil, which is touted by a lot of inflationists as basically black gold, right? They're both doing the same thing and for the same utility. Well, they're not. Economies drive oil, as well as some good old-fashioned, you know, sovereign price manipulations. But we're talking about looking for the counter cycle, the failure of the inflated economies and gold rising in those terms, as well as commodities. And the gold miners, they will leverage that positive performance just as they have leveraged for much of the last 20 years. They have leveraged gold's mediocre to poor performance versus those cyclical things, especially stocks. So logically, gold miners have been garbage in this macro, in the bubble macro. In the post-bubble macro, it'll be something different, and it will take most people by surprise. And I'm not here with my pom-poms or anything like that. I just have to report what I see, and that's what I see at this point. We're in a grinding transition.
Yeah, those are great points. I know you've probably seen this, but look at many of the
Oh.
peaks in oil in the last 20 years, and some major peaks in oil, they kind of line up with lows in gold mining stocks. They often do. So that speaks just one example of what you're talking about.
Good point.
Okay, so yeah, talking about the gold miners, let's talk about silver. I know you look at silver a little bit differently than most people. So how do you tell us how you look at silver and then what your near-term outlook is?
Well, technically, pardon me, I'm fighting some allergies this week, but technically, the breakout that just happened There's been a trend line breakout of a pattern is targeting $35 an ounce, no matter what it does post breakout, which I suspect there'll be some violent pullbacks and rallies and whatnot. I see silver going to 35, probably commensurate with gold going to 24.50 in the not too distant term, you know. But to me, silver, even more than gold, and I use gold as an indicator, and even more so silver, because gold has greater value to me personally. You know, it always has. It's just been more stable. I've never been a kind of a Wild West, you know, cowboy or anything like that. So, pardon me, I have a cat who's speaking.
Oh, no worries.
So I think the guide will be the silver gold ratio, which tried to break out this week. And last I looked today, it was having a little trouble maintaining its breakout, but we will see. I think that if the silver gold ratio takes off, then the inflation trades will continue on in the short term. If it pulls back, you know, all that stuff should get a correction here. But I'm no big silver bull, and I'm not negative on silver either. I just, to me, it's a speculation, or the speculative precious metal, and it's got more industrial pro-cyclical utility than gold does. And I want gold for insurance, not silver. You know, I want gold for insurance against, you know, the bubble. He's really working me over here. So anyway, that's my view on silver. It's fine. There's a time to be bullish on it. And, you know, the technical end of it has broken out for a target of 35. And that's all I'm going to look for at this point. And I'll stick with gold because I'm kind of an old fashioned guy and more conservative.
Yeah, just to follow up on your targets there. So you said silver could go to 35 with gold going to 24.50.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, Jordan.
So yeah, in case you missed that. So you said silver to 35, but you know, gold target of 24.50. Wouldn't gold, I mean, gold is pretty close to 24.50 already. Wouldn't gold need to make another leg higher beyond that for silver to get all the way up to 35?
I don't know. You know, a lot would be dependent upon what is driving the precious metals, you know, if it's more inflationary or more disaster insurance. I don't know how well they correlate, although they have both been downtrodden since 2020 and both have been due. Obviously, we know silver is a mile below its all-time highs and gold has broken to blue sky. And that is the most important thing to me, that gold finally jumped the creek and got out. And silver typically, doesn't it make a late stage, like in precious metal bull markets, doesn't silver signal the end by putting on one of its vertical moonshots? It did that in the spring of 2011, and then 2011 saw the top in the precious metals complex. Not sure what happened in the 70s. I know the thing went to 50, and I'm not sure if that was, I think that was the blowout phase as well then.
Yeah, it was.
So silver, when it gets a move on, it can be striking and stunning. And it's probably best that it doesn't do that right now, you know, since it's a late stage signaler.
Yeah, you know, someone.
I am
someone
bullish said, on silver. I just don't make a big deal about it.
Yeah, someone said that to me in a comment. That makes a lot of sense. But the gold silver ratio, is there a level on the line there that if it breaks, then you'll sense silver will really start to outperform? Are you keen on like a certain level? Because you said it tried to break down the gold silver ratio, but didn't quite do it yet.
Well, now that we're on video, I can't really go to my charts, but I haven't been keeping track, or I don't have the prices memorized, but it did break out. What was it last week? I think it took out the trend line. I think I've got a few charts of SLV showing the commensurate level on X, Twitter. That was very key.
I'll throw those in when we publish the
Okay,
video.
sure, please.
But your point is that we are close, or very close, or at a point where conceivably silver could really outperform gold strongly in the near medium term. Or at least potentially so.
Yeah, I see no technical sign of that though, Jordan. So silver is still at best trending flat versus gold. Even with the recent rally in the silver gold ratio, it's still trending flat. And to me, that's been a negative divergence to the inflation trades. And it's another reason why I, until proven otherwise, with silver making a jailbreak in gold terms, it's another reason why I see this as a temporary rebound in inflation signaling upon the macro. So yeah, I'm not getting excited about silver. I'm bullish on it, but that's all I can say. I'm bullish on on nominal silver. I think gold is up to something else, and I don't know for sure what it is. Maybe it's a combination of many inputs, you know. From global demand to disaster insurance to war to the bubble ending to countercyclical pressures coming, and people they don't know it yet because the market is a dead man walking, but people will be compelled to seek refuge, you know, and I think the gold market is starting to pick up on that. Why else would it be breaking out like that? Well, the stock market is in blue sky, you know, having escaped the supposed bear market of 2022. Happy days are here again, but something's going on, and gold is really where my focus is. Silver will be fine, but let's bear in mind that it may not make the real vertical, crazy silver-like move until the later stages of whatever this wherever this bull market goes. But I am, you know, as far as transitioning back to the gold miners, I want to see, if I'm a gold mining bull, I want to see the bubble end, and I want to see silver not necessarily outperform gold. Or if it does, I want just it doing it, not copper and you know, the industrial metals complex and oil and all that stuff. So I'm not really what you'd call a silver analyst or a big silver bull. You know, your website is called The Daily Gold, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's a really good match. Yeah, as we close, Gary, well, I guess one more question. Are there any other I guess we'll scratch that for a second. Is there anything you want to mention that I didn't ask you about that you think is important?
No, I'm good. Thank
Are
you.
there any other markets by chance that are interesting you at this point?
Well, it depends on the dollar, you know. I've been interested in Asia in general, possibly even China as a contrary play. But I think that, you know, the US dollar is going to need to simmer down, and the perception of tight Fed policy needs to go back in the closet. And then I think, you know, I think there could be a time of rotation globally to Asia emerging markets and the more resource-rich, commodity-rich type areas. And we've actually seen that on the recent correction or pullback, let's call it, in U.S. stocks. Last weekend in NFTRH, I mentioned that both Australia and Canada have broken to new highs while the US was pulling back. And it's not coincidental that those are resource commodity rich economies. And also we have the TSXV, the Venture Exchange in Canada, still rallying. It's not pulling back. So, you know, I think the dollar, it's putting on a big show right now, and it has broken bullish and kept its intermediate uptrend alive, but it's all based on perception of the Fed, and that the Fed is tight and being forced to tighten further. But if the dollar weakens, then those are some of the areas I'd be looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. Okay, Gary, as we wrap up here, please tell our listeners about Notes from the Rabbit Hole, where they can go to follow your work and how they can subscribe.
Sure. It's the website is nftrh.com, Notes from the Rabbit Hole. This week and beyond, I have just started a 2-week free trial with no strings attached or anything. You know, sometimes I have to get up on my marketing horse here and let people know what's going on there. And sometimes you want to just show them the whole service, including weekly reports, market updates during the week, both stock highlights and macro market updates. And the free trial will allow 2 weeks of access to everything. And then you can make your decision as to whether it's for you or not. I think it is, but we'll let prospective subscribers make that decision.
Okay, so give out the website one more time.
nftrh.com.
Okay, nftrh.com. Okay, great. Gary, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Just love your analysis on everything. And hopefully I can have you back maybe later this year and, you know, we can see what new mess we're coming into.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.